Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, L. Martin, on this Tuesday, July 18th. 2017. So glad you've joined us for yet another hot edition of Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We have another hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there that is sure to entertain. Old school sports talk radio. A ton of discussion. No guests today. Unless you want to be a part of the show by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. But we have plenty to chat about today as we will discuss the NFL contracts of Kirk Cousins and Le'Veon Bell, two former Michigan State football stars who will now play under franchise tags this upcoming season. We'll discuss the interesting dynamic as it pertains to NFL quarterbacks in relation to NFL running backs and NFL contracts. A loaded discussion. You don't want to miss it. In segment B, around 1:30, we will talk about the Detroit Lions extending an arm of goodwill to Calvin Megatron Johnson. Of course, Calvin Megatron Johnson, one of the greatest Detroit Lions to ever play. He was not pleased with how things ended when it comes to his retirement for the Honolulu Blue. He's been very boisterous in letting that be known. And also, recently overseas, he told the Italian press that the Detroit Lions, being the Detroit Lions, the sorry franchise they are, the losing franchise that they are, that did weigh in his thought process when making the decision to walk away from the game of football. So we'll talk about that. Also, Mike Vick is telling Colin Kaepernick that he needs to cut his hair to be more appealing when it comes to his image and trying to get a job in the National Football League. I don't know if I agree with that one. Also, the Detroit Tigers, don't let them fool you. They are riding a winning streak. How about that, right? A win last night over KC. We'll briefly chat about that. And we will have our takeaways from the NBA Summer League. How about Lonzo Ball earning Summer League MVP with the Los Angeles Lakers? Plenty to chat about, so little time. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, we have an update concerning a story that we brought to you all to start our headliners yesterday. A Michigan State associate coach was taken into custody by Monroe County Sheriff's deputies and later released on Friday after he was involved in a fatal four-vehicle crash on US 23. 37-year-old Todd Moyer, who is an assistant strength and conditioning coach with the MSU men's basketball team. He was traveling southbound on U.S. 23 when a chain reaction crash occurred, killing two people. According to a new release, a preliminary exam found Moyer was distracted behind the wheel, though what exactly he was doing was not stated. Sergeant Chad Cupp of the Monroe County Jail said Moyer hasn't been arraigned on charges yet, pending the results of the sheriff's office crash investigation. Unfortunate news there. And also head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, issued a very heartfelt statement in the press yesterday. All right, moving on. Andrew Dockage is on his way to the Ohio State University. How about that? According to Jeff Goodman of ESPN, former U of M guard Andrew Dockage will be transferring to the Buckeyes to play under new coach Chris Holtmann. Because Dockage graduated from Michigan, he does not have to sit out a year and will be eligible to play for the Buckeyes immediately. Dockage appeared in 49 games in his career at Michigan, averaging almost 5 points per game, 0.4 points per game, almost 5 minutes per game, 0.4 points per game, and 0.5 rebounds per game. The news comes as a surprise, as Dockage had previously announced in May he would be transferring to Quinnipiac. Now he'll be playing against Michigan for one of its conference rivals. The two teams are slated to meet twice this upcoming year. That's got to be a crime, right? You play for U of M and then you transfer to Ohio State, Michigan's arguably biggest rival. Interesting story there. I'm pretty sure he's going to get some hate for that one. All right, the Lansing Lugnuts seem to have started life without Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on the right foot. Thanks to a walk-off RBI single in the 12th inning by Nash Knight on Monday, the Luggies are able to knock off the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers by a score of 4-3. Down 3-2 with two outs and the bases empty in the bottom of the ninth, Andreas Sotelo came through with a double, and Rodrigo Orozco followed with a line drive down the left field line, bringing in pinch runner Nick Sine. Thrilling game. And also, I want to remind you all that we did cover that game yesterday. Our very own Karina Garcia, while we were on the airwaves, she was at that game that went to 12 innings. So just simply go to Facebook.com/Current Sports to check out the highlights via the Current Sports 2-Minute Drill. In the 12th, Orozco came through again, reaching on an infield single and stealing second base following a strikeout of Joshua Palacios. Wisconsin intentionally walked Edward Olivares. Two batters later, Knight dropped a broken bat single into right field to score Orozco. The walk-off win was the Lugnuts' fourth of the season. The Jumbotron at LCA, Little Caesars Arena, will measure approximately 5,100 square feet and will be the largest scoreboard in the NHL, the Red Wings say. Each of the four sides of the scoreboard made by Daktronics will measure approximately 28 feet high, 43.5 feet wide. A seamless display connects all four sides at the corners. The scoreboard also has four under-mount displays, which will be seen primarily by fans sitting closer to the ice or the court. There are pictures online of the new Jumbotron, and I must say, it is off the chain. Very nice addition to LCA. In the bottom of the sixth inning of last night's Tigers and Royals game, J.D. Martinez was pulled from the game and replaced by Alex Presley. At the same time this was happening, Washington Nationals top prospect Victor Robles was pulled from his minor league game. This, of course, left media and fans alike to speculate that a trade between the two clubs may be taking place, but this was not the case. JD was pulled as a precautionary measure as the Tigers were up 6-0 at the time, and Robles, he left the game because of a base running error. And oh yeah, there was still a baseball game being played while all of this was going on. The Tigers pounded the Royals and walked away with a 10-2 dub. Contributions came from the entire lineup. Nick Castellanos hit a home run. Mickey Matuk did too. And the Tigers jumped all over left-hander Jason Vargas early. They tagged Vargas for 6 runs, 2 2/3 innings, providing Jay-Z Jordan Zimmerman plenty of room to dominate. And that he did. He pitched 6 2/3 innings, allowing 1 run on 7 hits. He tied a season high with 7 Ks and didn't walk a batter. Zimmerman was so impressive that he was the first Tigers pitcher since 1988 to throw 81% strikes. Wow. Of his 97 pitches, 79 were Ks. Very impressive outing for Jay-Z last night. All right, in an effort to mend their strained relationship, Lions president Rod Wood has invited former wideout Calvin Johnson to training camp. Wood extended the invitation a week after Johnson essentially thrashed his former team during a news conference in Italy. Now, in a summation of his comments, Johnson basically said that part of his decision to retire came from the mindset that he didn't see the Lions being able to compete for a Super Bowl anytime soon. In an interview with WJR AM 760, Wood said, quote, "I kind of align myself with what Jim Caldwell said a couple of weeks ago. I think that it will all work out. Calvin, interestingly, texted me a couple of weeks ago. So we've exchanged a few text messages recently. They were very cordial. I won't get into what they were about, but they were professional. I did invite him out to training camp. We'll see if he does that. Hopefully he shows up," end quote. We'll have more on that story in just a moment. The Washington Redskins failed to sign quarterback Kirk Cousins to a long-term deal, setting the stage for the former MSU quarterback great for his possible departure next offseason. Because the Redskins and Cousins could not come to an agreement by the Monday 4 p.m. deadline, they can't negotiate a long-term deal until after the season ends. That means Cousins will become the first NFL quarterback to play under the franchise tag for back-to-back years, earning $23.9 million this upcoming year. The Redskins have publicly stated numerous times that they wanted Cousins for the long term. However, his leverage placed him in an earnings bracket the Redskins were unable or unwilling to reach. We'll have more on that story. Also, Cousins isn't the only former Spartan having trouble reaching a deal. The Pittsburgh Steelers failed to reach a long-term deal with Le'Veon Bell before Monday's franchise tag deadline, making 2018 free agency a real possibility for the prolific running back. Bell was hopeful that a deal would be finalized by 4 p.m. yesterday, but said the two sides weren't particularly close. Bell confirmed that he will play on the $12.12 million franchise tag, but isn't sure when he will sign his tender or report to camp, which begins on July 27th. Bell told Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, quote, "It's a little frustrating, but it is a business." Bell went on to say, "I'm not in a rush to sign for something I'm not valued at if I feel I'm worth more than what they are offering me," end quote. Very honest statements from Le'Veon Bell. We'll have more on that story and a stacked hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get right to it.
Oh, Kirk Cousins for sure top 100. I seen him torch teams. I remember when I was at Michigan State and I was in the huddle with him, the way he controlled the huddle.
Hey, we're going.
I knew he'd be a good NFL quarterback. I just knew he had to get his chance. He's going to take off with it. He's doing that.
Cousins going to float it. Wow, what a beauty.
His confidence is growing, man. He's just starting to get that, you don't want to say swagger, but swagger.
Celebrate as a team.
In 2016, Kirk Cousins passed for nearly 5,000 yards. Only Drew Brees and MVP Matt Ryan threw for more.
He keeps getting better and better, not just as a person, but a player. And when those things merge together, then you have a terrific and unique football player.
Yes, Kirk Cousins. He is certainly dominating NFL headlines everywhere because Cousins now becomes the first NFL quarterback in the league's history to get hit with the franchise tag not once, but twice. Yes, he will play this season with the Redskins under a $24 million franchise tag. That became official yesterday, as I stated in the headliners. Monday at 4 p.m. was the deadline for for tag players to sign long-term deals. That is now kaput, and now Kirk Cousins will laugh his way to the bank yet again. However, when you don't sign a long-term contract just like Kirk Cousins has not yet to do now in back-to-back years, there is some pressure to perform because you have to live up to the billing and try to convince the football world, including the Washington Redskins, more so than anybody, if you want a long-term deal with the Redskins, that you are worth a long-term deal. So if they don't get a deal done after this upcoming year, if you look at the possibility of an unprecedented third franchise tag, that will cost the Redskins more than $34 million. That will be a 120% raise from Cousins' initial contract. Crazy. But now the Redskins have basically signed Kirk Cousins to a two-year, $44 million contract. That blows my mind. It really does. Really, really does. And according to President Bruce Allen of the Redskins, they offered him a pretty hefty deal, but Cousins decided to turn it down. Actually, on the official Washington Redskins Twitter account, Allen made a statement. And included in that statement was this, quote, "On May 2nd, right after the draft, we made Kirk an offer that included the highest fully guaranteed amount upon signing for a quarterback in NFL history. $53 million. And guaranteed a total of $72 million for injury." That's a hefty amount. Again, Bruce Allen, via the Redskins official Twitter account, made Kirk an offer that included the highest fully guaranteed amount upon signing for a quarterback in NFL history. $53 million, $72 million guaranteed for injury. Allen went on to say in that statement, quote, "The deal would have made him at least the second highest paid player by average per year in NFL history. But despite our repeated attempts, we have not received any offer from Kirk's agent this year. Kirk has made it clear that he prefers to play on a year-to-year basis. While we would have liked to work out a long-term contract before this season, we accept his decision," end quote. That's a lot of money to turn down. And I actually saw an interview via the local news as Kirk Cousins returned to Michigan to hold one of his annual football camps. Kirk went on the record to say, "It's not about the money. I don't play for the money. I'm playing for the best situation." Now, again, I'm summarizing here, but he's basically saying, "I'm playing for the best situation, the best situation for me. I'm trying to become a better player each and every year. It is not about the moolah." However, if Bruce Allen did offer him the highest fully guaranteed amount upon signing for a quarterback in NFL history at $53 million and a guaranteed total of $72 million for injury, that is... I really don't understand how you turn that down. I'm taking that. Especially when you look at Kirk Cousins, the player. Now, I'm not bashing the dude. I think Kirk Cousins is a solid quarterback in the NFL. I didn't think that Kirk Cousins would turn out to be the type of player that he has become in the National Football League. Heck, looking at the numbers, Cousins threw for a career-high 4,917 yards and 25 touchdowns against 12 INTs, numbers on par or better than that breakout year that he had back in 2015. He has thrown for more than 9,000 yards and 54 total touchdowns across his two seasons as a starter under head coach Jay Gruden. But Washington failed to make the playoffs, losing four of its final six games, despite those pretty solid numbers, all right? And with Cousins entering his sixth season with the Redskins and third as the team's starting quarterback after originally being selected in the fourth round, 102nd overall in that 2012 NFL draft, Cousins has certainly overperformed that draft slot. For his career, he has appeared in 46 regular season games with 41 starts, completing 1,025 of his 1,556 pass attempts. Folks, that's a 66% completion rating. For 12,113 yards, 72 touchdowns, and 42 interceptions. Of course, we all know that Cousins earned that starting job over Robert Griffin III. However, Cousins' numbers and performance, I must get this off my chest. His numbers and performance seem to have a bit of the, how shall I put it, the Andy Dalton syndrome. You know, good enough to get you close, but not good enough to get you all the way to the promised land. Solid numbers, but when everything's on the line, and when the NFL year gets to those final 5-4 weeks left in the season and you are in playoff contention, Kirk just can't get the job done. You know, he could look like a Pro Bowler one week, great numbers, and then can really throw you out of the game the next week. That consistency, it's something that Kirk Cousins is still trying to find on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis. Over the last 2 years, Cousins has guided the Redskins to a 17-14-1 regular season record and an NFC East title back in 2015. So he has the Redskins in his past 2 years as a starter over the 500 mark. But really, no big noise made in the NFL postseason, despite the NFL East title back in 2015. But, you know, it really blows my mind because if you were to look at Kirk Cousins' situation out in Washington, and looking at how much he's getting paid now, he's going to be getting paid yet another year in which he's franchise tagged. Again, the first quarterback to ever get franchise tagged in back-to-back years. A $24 million contract for Kirk coming this upcoming year. The Redskins basically signing him to a two-year $44 million contract. And you equate that to the situation of Le'Veon Bell. It certainly surprised me. Le'Veon Bell, yet another former Michigan State football great, who has been really tearing it up on the NFL scene. One of the best, arguably the best running back in the NFL. And you evaluate his situation. It was surprising to me when it came across my phone that a long-term deal was not made with Le'Veon. And you know what that says? You know what that puts in perspective? The value of the NFL quarterback in relation to every other position, let alone the running back position. It is no longer a running back's league. Running backs are, in my opinion, a bit undervalued, especially when you evaluate the career of Le'Veon Bell. Because the monetary value of a player's contract in today's NFL depends on numerous things. It depends on age. It depends on the compensation of other players at his position in the league performing at or around the same level that he is. And then thirdly, and maybe most importantly, it depends on the player's position. It really does. Because you look at Le'Veon Bell, and really, if you evaluate Le'Veon's output, what he's been able to produce as a member of the Steel Curtain over there out in Pittsburgh, he's had more value, I believe, than Kirk Cousins. Getting them to the playoffs, more consistent performances out of him. You know, it's important to note that although the player's on-field performance and skill set is a crucial component, you know, when you evaluate, especially at the quarterback position, when you evaluate playoff wins and Super Bowl titles, those are really not mentioned on that list of criteria when it comes to NFL contracts. You know, while postseason prowess certainly bolsters a player's case for a top-tier contract, ultimately, the deal's value is not dependent on it. If that were the case, Derek Carr would not be the new highest-paid player in the game of football, and a man by the name of Matthew Stafford for the Detroit Lions would not have amassed over $110 million in 8 seasons with how many playoff victories? Zero. None. And again, it is the Detroit Lions we're talking about, right? The scarcity of starting caliber NFL quarterbacks is no secret. And that is why you see these ridiculous contracts for unproven NFL quarterbacks who don't have a lot of playoff wins out there getting these redonkulous contracts. Heck, even if you don't lead your team to the playoffs, if you are a Pro Bowl quarterback like a Matthew Stafford, NFL teams are going to operate under the premise that they must have a franchise quarterback to win a Super Bowl. And they're going to dish out money in order to back up that point. So you look at a situation like Kirk Cousins. He plays the quarterback position. It's not often that you have a quarterback like Kirk Cousins who can put up those kind of numbers that I mentioned, even though they did not get to the Super Bowl. And heck, I'm looking at the bigger picture. It is one of the reasons why when people bash, when Detroit Lions fans out there bash Matthew Stafford, I have to go the other route. Matthew Stafford's numbers have been great. And don't even mention his durability. I mean, not having an offensive line and not having a running game, yet the dude somehow, some way is able to tough it out, stay healthy, and go out there each and every Sunday and perform. Matthew Stafford is undervalued, if you ask me, for the Detroit Lions. And I think the dude is going to get paid now. But you look at a guy like Le'Veon Bell, and you look at the entire spectrum of who is getting paid from that running back position in the league, and you compare that to the likes of those who play the quarterback position, and there is no comparison. There really is. With immediate results demanded from today's coaches and GMs, there is no time for current regimes to haggle over a few million making a quarterback with no proven postseason success a $20 to $25 million player per year player. So if you have success as a quarterback right now, you better believe that teams are going to shell out that money right then and there. For a running back, that is not the case. The Buffalo Bills' LeSean McCoy is currently the league's highest paid running back at about, if you had to guess, Isaac, how much the highest paid running back gets paid in the league, where would you say that number is, or would you like to take a stab at what that contract looks like?
It's kind of unfortunate for you that I was researching, actually, but it's right around $7 or $8 million, I think.
It is. LeSean McCoy right now is the highest paid running back in the National Football League at about $8 million per season. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back, Doug Martin, will be the second highest paid running back by base salary. That's according to ESPN's roster management system. But in terms of quote-unquote cash value, Bell's total is second among running backs behind that of Jacksonville Jaguars rookie Leonard Fournette, former LSU star, who will make $18.3 million in cash thanks to his $17.89 million signing bonus. And as I mentioned, Le'Veon Bell will play at 12.12 under the franchise tag. And looking at that quote, you know, that I mentioned during the headliners, you know, Bell goes on to say, quote, "It's a little frustrating, but it is a business, I should say. I'm not in a rush to sign for something if I'm not valued at, if I feel I'm worth more than what they are offering me." Bell went on to say, "The running back market definitely took a hit. And I can't be the guy who continues to let it take that hit. We do everything. We block, we run, we catch the ball. Our value isn't where it needs to be. I'm taking it upon myself to open up some eyes and show the position is more valuable," end quote. And I think Bell, from his position in Pittsburgh, has a point. Because, again, when you equate his production and compare it to some of the greats to play the game in the league today, Bell is among the top-tier players. I mean, heck, Bell amassed 4,791 total yards the past 3 years, second among running backs, despite his missing 13 games due to injury or suspension. And if anything, I think if you are going to make the argument against Le'Veon Bell getting a hefty long-term contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers, it may be his durability. And that's the discussion we have all the time with running backs, right? Playing that position. I mean, the shelf life of the average NFL running back is something like 3 seasons. Very short. But the thing that makes Le'Veon Bell so special is that his status as the Steelers' second most productive receiver behind Antonio Brown? I mean, he caught a combined 158 passes in his past 2 seasons of 12 games or more. That is what makes Le'Veon Bell so special. He's a hybrid player. He's an old-school running back who loves contact, who you need about 2 to 3 guys to take down on any respective down. But you can set him up in the slot. He'll catch the football and gain yards that way. He's such a talented hybrid player. So I'm puzzled as to why the Pittsburgh Steelers decided to shy away from a long-term deal, or maybe, as Bell puts it, lowball him. But it's amazing to me when I sat down to prep for this conversation, it's amazing to me how a player like Kirk Cousins, who is up and down, whose numbers are solid, especially when you take into account where he was drafted and what he's been able to do in the league, but solid but not great. Redskins basically folding up as the year went along last year and putting them out of playoff contention. And you equate that to a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who is a star in the league, who is arguably the best running back in the game, and a deal not getting done there. And you look at the entire spectrum of running backs, $8 million, that's the highest paid running back in the league? And a guy like Kirk, franchise tag twice now, and he gets a $24 million payday this upcoming year. Ah, the NFL, that puts things in perspective, right? Before we hit this first break, to throw out a few more numbers at you, if I haven't already. 2017 cash rankings, Andrew Luck sits at numero uno at $27 million. Derek Carr, number two, at $25 million. And then you have Kirk Cousins at $23 million. 23.9. I just round that up to 24, right? Right behind Derek Carr. Then you have Cam Newton, Joe Flacco, Ryan Tannehill, Sam Bradford, Carson Palmer, Matthew Stafford at 9. That's going to go up, I think. And Mike Glennon. That's how your top 10 looks. But when you change that around to base rankings, Kirk Cousins ranks numero uno now in the league with that $24 million contract with back-to-back franchise tags. And you have Ryan Tannehill at 17.9 and Von Miller at 17. That's your top three. Crazy stuff, folks. What are your thoughts on it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Are you shocked that the Washington Redskins yet again pulled out the franchise tag on Kirk Cousins? And what do you make of Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers not being able to come to terms to a long-term contract? Call in 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Let's start our first break. When we come back, we will talk about the Detroit Lions trying to mend the negative press that has been out there as it relates to Calvin Johnson. We'll also talk about the Detroit Tigers topping the Kansas City Royals and the NBA Summer League, that and more. We'll be right back. Thank you.
K. Mary.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a conversation concerning Kirk Cousins and Le'Veon Bell. Their NFL contracts for this upcoming year, they were not able to reach a long-term deal with their teams, that being Kirk Cousins with the Washington Redskins and Le'Veon Bell with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So both players will be franchise tagged. Le'Veon Bell at 12-12. And Kirk Cousins, another year in which he will make $24 million. I didn't get your thoughts on this, Isaac Constance. You know, it's shocking to me, not only when you look at the disparity of numbers, but it's been like this way for a long time. The quarterback position is the most coveted position in football, in the NFL. And the NFL contracts certainly allude to that. But I tell you what, Le'Veon Bell being such a beloved figure out in Pittsburgh, I'm really shocked that he feels like the Steelers lowballed him when it came to their proposal. So him making 12-12, he'll have to go out and show that he can go out there and perform. But I think even more importantly than that, because I think he'll perform, he's such a dynamic running back. He's already proved that already. But whether or not he can stay healthy as well.
Yeah, it's going to be up to him and Leonard Fournette really to carry this burden of running backs and terms of getting their salary up commensurate to what they do on the field. These are guys who are on every play, just like quarterbacks, just like receivers. But the highest paid receiver gets paid $17 million. Now, in Le'Veon's breakthrough year back in 2014, when he played all 16 games, the only time he's done that, he had 850 receiving yards, 854 to be exact. That's good enough to be a top-notch receiver in the NFL, but then he doesn't get paid for that. Then he also goes out there and blocks. Doesn't get paid for that either, though, because the top-rated blocker, that's Trent Williams over in Washington. He gets paid, again, close to $17 million a year. Le'Veon, though, as you said, the highest-paid running back on contract right now, still LeSean McCoy at $8 million. That does not make sense. Something doesn't connect when you double your contract and you're still not making as much as offensive linemen or receivers who you, in part, play their exact same role. Something does need to change with this because, boy, Kirk Cousins, he's making millions and millions and millions and millions, and I'm not going to keep counting because it would take us the rest of the show, but he's doing it as a slightly above average quarterback. I like Kirk Cousins, but at the same time, compare him to Le'Veon Bell, there's no question who you'd rather have on your team.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when you look at numbers in the National Football League and you bring up some of the big names that are the faces of the league. You know, certainly the name that really stands out in my mind is that of Tom Brady. Tom Brady, who I believe is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, watching what he was able to do this last year and lead his team to that improbable comeback against the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl, it was absolutely remarkable. But you look at Tom Brady's contract. You know, Tom Brady, he signed a $41 million extension last March. That ranks 14th in the NFL among quarterbacks, Isaac. This is Tom Brady we're talking about, the greatest quarterback to ever play. And, you know, you look at it, he's got, what, 5 Super Bowl rings, a plethora of league records. You know, he seems to defy age with his current skill set. That is incredibly undervalued. And Tom Brady throughout his career, I mean, we all know what the storyline has been when it comes to Tom Brady. He has consistently taken pay cuts to sacrifice for the organization in order to surround him with talent that can compete in Super Bowls year after year after year. It is one of the most undervalued contracts in the NFL. Tom Brady, though, I think is going to get paid. 2019 is when he becomes an unrestricted free agent. They can kind of iron out his contract, and we'll see how long he wants to play because age is also a factor when discussing Tom Brady. I mean, how much longer can we see this type of performance from the dude? But I must say this, though, Isaac. When discussing Tom Brady's contract, I would argue that my man out in Dallas, Dak Prescott, that his contract may be the most undervalued contract in the NFL.
Oh, I think that's, yeah, inarguable in a way, in your favor. Yeah.
It is crazy because you look at Dak. You know, he was taken, what, in the fourth round, 135th overall in the year he was drafted. He stormed onto the scene and took Tony Romo's job, right? He goes on to lead the Cowboys in the NFC East to a 13-3 record and a first-round bye in the playoffs. The former Mississippi State Bulldog, he took home the 2016 AP Rookie of the Year Award. He was voted to the Pro Bowl on the original ballot. He's become the new franchise quarterback in the league's most popular franchise, love him or hate him, the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, Dak Prescott, his 2017 cap figure stands at $635,000. That's how much Rookie of the Year Dak Prescott, mm-hmm. who's becoming one of the biggest names in the league, that is how much Dak Prescott is getting paid on a year-to-year basis. That is not much more, Isaac, than his current backup, former Lansing Catholic grad, who went on to play at Central Michigan University and have a great career there, Cooper Rush.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much more than Cooper Rush. I mean, they're not even in the millions here, Isaac.
Well,
crazy.
And the other thing about this is there's a parallel between Dak Prescott and now Mr. Paid, as I'll call him, Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because Kirk Cousins came into this league with a signing bonus of $472,000. His contract that year, $390,000. He went on, and in 2015, as recently as 2015, when he started getting those starts, he was only getting paid $660,000 a year. I say only, but that is really what it is in the scope of the NFL. It's nothing. It's just like Dak Prescott's contract. So Kirk Cousins, another fourth-round pick who managed to work up his valuation. The other thing about franchises, and this is one of the biggest flops in sports by front offices, they pay players in retrospect. They pay them for what they did. So I think the Washington Redskins, when they did that first franchise tag, the first one, they said more or less that they thought Kirk Cousins deserved that sort of money for what he did for them in the past. I don't think they were looking at the current climate.
Right.
Instead of giving him a lot of guaranteed money for years in advance, he would have been so much cheaper if they would have just inked him to a deal last year,
right,
forgotten all of it, and now they're in a place where they've really messed up their cap space up for years to come, because now either Kirk Cousins' contract next year is going to be over the moon, it's going to be unbelievable in terms of both its length, its guaranteed money, its average cap hit, mm-hmm. but it's also going to prohibit them from going other places because they can't franchise tag him again. $36 million, as you mentioned, that right. would be the figure. That's simply
untenable. That's
too much.
Yeah, too
they
much.
Can't
It'll
do
break
that.
Your franchise, right? I mean, how can you afford to play other players, especially on that offensive repertoire? It's crazy. And now, you know, the question I have for our listeners out there, you know, this is an interesting situation now for Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford is next in line, and according to multiple sources out there, Matthew Stafford could become the highest paid player in the NFL. You know, you look at the Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr. You know, he set the market last month with a 5-year contract that guarantees $70.2 million and is worth just shy of $25 million per year. When that happened, Stafford had an idea of what might make him the richest in the NFL. If he made a move before yesterday's 4 p.m. franchise tag deadline, a Cousins deal could have topped it. It really could have. Now, with him waiting now, if he gets an extension done, it could make him the highest paid player in the league. My question to Lions fans out there is whether or not Matthew Stafford is worth that title. Is he worth that kind of money? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Because I've been a dude that has consistently backed Matthew Stafford up. You know, when you look at, you got to look at the entire picture. Everybody's story, every team is different in the league, okay? The Detroit Lions, their defense has not been great, especially that secondary in recent years. Matthew Stafford has been playing behind a subpar offensive line. Matthew Stafford also did not have a solid running game, or any running game for that matter at all, last year while balling out for the Detroit Lions. Yet he was still able to pull off miracles Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. I remember, you know, I would be on Current State, you know, on Monday mornings constantly talking about yet another Matthew Stafford come from behind victory for the Honolulu Blue. What do you think about Matthew Stafford possibly becoming the highest paid player in the National Football League? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got one of our dear callers on line one that wants to chime in. Austin from Kalamazoo. Austin, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, Al? You doing all right today, man?
I'm great, man. I'm loving it. It's refreshing in the summertime when we get a chance to talk some NFL, so I'm like milking this dry right now. What's on your mind, though, man?
Yeah, man, so about Matt Stafford, I'm a huge fan of his. I'm a huge fan. I like Matt Stafford. I only play with the Lions on Madden because I know Matt Stafford's going to sling the ball on Matt.
Right.
But I think these organizations and these owners and the GMs have their priorities all mixed up, because you just alluded to it a couple seconds earlier with him playing behind a subpar offensive line and this and that kind of stuff in the subpar run game. And it makes you question, why are these guys playing the game? Do they really love the game, or are they just playing it because the money, playing it for the money? I mean, these guys are making millions of dollars with no postseason success. And if you notice, the guys that make the long postseason runs are never the guys that are holding out waiting for the money. Like, no, I'm a holdout. I want to be the highest paid. I want to be this. It's the guys who have no track record of deserving these contracts because they have no postseason success. So my thing is, you guys need to humble yourselves, get your priorities straight. And if you do, you want to go down as a guy who made the most money and never won anything, or do you want to go down as a Tom Brady and be remembered for 5+ NFL championships?
So you're basically attacking it from the standpoint, Austin, that there needs to be more sacrifice, I guess, when it comes to NFL quarterbacks, maybe adopting the Tom Brady philosophy and taking less money to surround them with better talent, maybe?
I that's what I'm saying. It sounds foolish. I mean, if somebody was throwing that much money at me, I probably wouldn't care about a Super Bowl either.
Right.
But as a fan, it's like you said, Le'Veon Bell is underpaid, and he's probably one of the most valuable guys in the NFL right now.
Certainly. I agree. And you know what? And from a selfish standpoint for me, you know the stance that I've taken when it comes to the National Football League. They have consistently not looked out for their players over time. This is a brutal sport. And again, you take into account the whole concussion discussion and how the NFL basically tried to plead ignorance when it came to how concussions affect players who have and who have played the game for a long, long time and years after that. The NFL has not looked out for its players. So if you have the opportunity to sign a big contract, heck, if I'm Matthew Stafford, I am trying to get the biggest contract I can out there, regardless of what my competitive instinct says. That sounds like a selfish statement, but at the same time, if you're in the NFL and you have an opportunity like that, you got to go for the money, in my opinion, Austin, because the NFL is not going to look out for you.
Yeah, that's just like if I was a 17-year-old freshman at Michigan State and they told me, Austin, you can make $3 million at 17, I'd probably leave.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to be crazy not to, right? If the money's there, and we all know in the NFL, it's such a physical sport, your career, all it takes is one moment, one play for your career to be kaput. Go after the money if the money is on the table. From a fan perspective, sure, that's the dialogue you want to hear, right? You want to win. Sacrifice to win. But at the end of the day, playing a brutal sport like the NFL is, like the game of football is, I got to get my paper while I can, dude.
I agree 100%. Thanks for taking the call, Isaac and Al.
Always appreciate it, Austin. What's your thought on that? I mean, because, you know, you look at it, Isaac, and it's dynamic where the game is so brutal. How many times have we seen players, you know, have season-ending injuries? And, again, just looking at not even the shelf life. I mentioned the shelf life of an NFL running back being 3 years. Heck, of an NFL player being even less than that. I mean, it's crazy, Isaac. You gotta go after the money if in my point of view.
Well, and the other thing that I'd bring up, though, it's kind of ironic because here's Tom Brady, you know, the greatest to ever do it, all of that. Somebody who has given up money for whatever reason. One reason he's able to do so is because Tom Brady. He's a good-looking dude. He sponsors Uggs or whatever the heck it is. You know, like
does he? He sponsors Uggs?
I think
Uggs?
So,
I had no
or
idea.
He was spotted wearing them or whatever. But the guy gets endorsements, the point is. Yeah, you know, yeah. He's got plenty of money coming in other places. Giselle is his wife. you know she gets money too. So it's like they're in a position where they can afford to take a few risks. The thing is, though, him sacrificing so much has given him the opportunity to have offensive lines that
to
protect his future.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a sort of irony right there, too. It's kind of interesting. But with that being said, no, if I was in that situation, I'm taking the money.
But also the Lions talk about ignorance. They have completely ignored in drafts in the past, ignored the need for top offensive linemen. They've always drafted these ridiculous picks like another wide receiver when you don't need another wide receiver, or another tight end when you don't need another tight end. Draft somebody who can block on that offensive line. Now, you look at what they did this past draft. I think they addressed a lot of needs. They needed everything, to be honest with you. And it was hard to really get a really stout offensive lineman that can come in and immediately make an impact right off the bat. However, in years past, we all know how just idiotic Detroit Lions draft picks have been. We'll continue to take your calls with under 10 minutes left. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. We have a caller on line one. We'll get to you. Let's hit our second break and come back and take that call. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have spent the majority of this hour talking about NFL contracts, the contracts of Kirk Cousins of the Washington Redskins, that of Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers, two former MSU football greats, and also we discussed a bit about the contract of Matthew Stafford as it pertains to the Detroit Lions. Many people predicting out there that Matthew Stafford, his next contract will be the highest, the richest in NFL history. Let's go to line two right now. We've got Joe from Kego Harbor that wants to weigh in. Joe, what's up, my man? Hello, do we have Joe?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you. What's up, my man?
Fantastic. How's it going?
Great.
You got to pay him. The reason you have to pay him is because if you don't pay him, then you end up with a Trevor Siemian or garbage, and it took us 8 or 9 years just to get him to this point.
Exactly. And that's the point I've been making when it comes to NFL quarterbacks. There aren't a lot of when you have a Pro Bowl quarterback like Matthew Stafford, you have to pay him because what do you have left? I mean, what's your plan B or C down the line? I mean, Matthew Stafford, this is a quarterback who averaged 4,584 passing yards and 28 TD passes over the past six seasons. That is among the NFL's elite. I agree. I'm right there with you, Joe. And, you know,
O-line has been trash.
Exactly. His O-line has been trash. He had no running game. No running game whatsoever last season. It is remarkable what he has been able to do with so little, Joe. And, you know, those that argue otherwise, I think that they're not looking at the bigger picture.
Well, they're looking at it in the sense that somebody brought up Tom Brady earlier.
Right.
But I don't know if you know this, Al. Not every team can win the Super Bowl every year.
Preach on. Yep.
You just want to stay competitive or at least get better. And if you lost Stafford, then it's just a step in the wrong direction. You'd have to bank entirely on your defense.
And we all know that's not a good recipe for success when discussing the Detroit Lions. I mean, I believe that's really all they drafted, I feel like, in the 2017 draft. I mean, they drafted a linebacker in Gerard Davis from Florida in round one. They drafted a corner from Florida in Tease Tarbor in round two. Then they went the wide receiver route with Kenny Galladay from Northern Illinois. Offensive linebacker from Tennessee and Jalen Reeves-Maben. So they are trying to address that need because that secondary has not been great. Great points, Joe. Appreciate the call, my man.
All right, see you, buddy.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. And real briefly here, Isaac, Moneyball League tonight. I want to remind folks that you can go to AIM High Sports Complex out in Diamonddale, Michigan. Every Tuesday and Thursday, there are about six Moneyball dates left on the calendar, so you want to check it out. If you haven't been out there to check out the Miles Bridges show is what I'm calling it. There are a lot of great ball players there, but everybody comes out really to see Miles Bridges, the guy for the upcoming MSU men's basketball year. He's so fun to watch. He'll actually be going against Nick Ward. That was the big game last year. Mm-hmm. He'll be going against Nick Ward at 8:30 p.m. tonight. We'll be there. Our very own Jacob Herbert, current sports intern, he'll be out there covering that game. And Isaac, I have to ask you, you watched the NBA Summer League. We saw Lonzo Ball win the Summer League MVP with the LA Lakers. You know what? It's so amazing to me because everybody is talking about Summer Leagues. Here in mid-Michigan with the Moneyball Summer League and the NBA Summer League, I mean, with all the hype surrounded around Lonzo Ball and other incoming freshmen, but we all know that Lonzo Ball has been the storyline. They've been broadcasting his games on ESPN, for goodness sake. It's crazy to me because I feel like a lot of people are forgetting it's the Summer League. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of defense being played here. The competition is vastly different from an NBA regular season game in comparison, especially in college basketball. It's amazing to me how many people are looking at the Moneyball Summer League and saying, oh my goodness, blah, 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 looks good. It's going to be a different ball game when it comes to collegiately. I just want people to kind of pump the brakes a little bit. I use that a lot.
Moneyball, I totally agree with you on. NBA Summer League, I think you could actually pass a little bit of judgment.
Lonzo Ball isn't going against NBA starters in the National Basketball Association, Isaac.
These sorts of talents transcend different levels of play. That's why Lonzo was drafted second overall.
He's going
against all sorts of players. He went against Markel Fultz earlier in the league.
That's one guy who had an ankle injury, and he's not even playing the rest of the Summer League. He's done now. But it's not like he's going against the Golden State Warriors.
No,
here.
He's not. You know? He's not. I mean, there's only so much judgment you can pass, but my claim to fame in all my life is I discovered Jeremy Lin 2 years, 2 years before he burst onto the scene. I discovered him with the Mavericks Summer League roster.
Yeah, and Jeremy is still trying to grab some of that Lin sanity that he had one breakout year.
He had it for a little bit, but
I think the tide is evened out when it comes to Jeremy Lin. All right, we'll discuss more about the NBA Summer League on tomorrow's show. Thanks so much to all of you out there for listening to yet another edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow, folks. As always, have a great Tuesday afternoon, and be easy, people.